After I substituted for Father Wesley a few months ago, someone from the cathedral parish asked, "Who is that old priest that substituted for Father Wesley last weekend?" I won't ask that person to raise their hand. I'll just look for the person who's the most red in the face. But I would like to tell that person, age is relative. Father Wesley looks 25. Father Anish looks 20. I just turned 68, but I don't look that old, do I? I am supposing that that person was not complaining. But if they were, this weekend's readings are a perfect antidote to a complaining attitude. Complaining is not a Eucharistic attitude. The gospel is from John 6 for 5 weeks in a row, all the way until the end of August. Perhaps for a special reason, and not only because the Gospel of Mark is so short. As Catholics, we believe that the sixth chapter in the Gospel of John is all about Eucharist, since Jesus repeatedly calls himself the bread of life. Eucharist means, as most of you already know, thanksgiving. It's from the Greek to give thanks, to show our gratitude. Maybe we need to hear from this one chapter of the Bible all through the month of August in a row, because we need to be grateful five times as much as we complain. Complaining is not a biblical attitude either. The authors of the Bible see complaining as one of the worst sins. This weekend's scriptures testify to that. The book of Exodus tells us that the Jewish people complained about the manna that God gave them, the food that they received from God in the desert, right after God had delivered them from Egypt. So they just came out of the slavery of Pharaoh, and here they are, not many days later, complaining. The word manna actually means, what is this? Although the literal meaning of the word is more vulgar, worse than, what the heck is this? Much too often, we say to God, what the heck is this? What is this situation I am in, or what is it that has come my way now, especially in regard to the ordinary and unattractive things of life? The crowd in the gospel complains about Jesus, who is trying to convince them that he is the new manna, the bread of life. Much too often, we complain about the way God feeds us in our desert times. And we all have them. Those hard times, those transitional times in our life when it is not easy even to make the next step forward. Maybe complaining hides our deepest hungers and needs. Perhaps we are afraid to admit them. Perhaps we are afraid to put away our old self and change our ways, as the author of the Ephesians encourages us to do. And perhaps we have so identified ourselves with our grudges and our gripes and our complainings that we don't know who we are without them. Complaining has become a habit, and it's hard to break a habit. We are just one big lump of complaining, and Americans might be the worst. I've witnessed American Catholics complaining on the steps of the Vatican. I was in Rome not long ago, and there they were, American Catholics complaining about the weather, complaining about everything being so late, complaining about the food in Italy. Hard to believe. How far can you go without complaining this very day? If not in word, then in thought and attitude. Will you make it to the end of this homily? Will you make it to the collection? Will you make it to communion? Will you make it to the end of Mass? Will you make it to the parking lot? Will you make it home? Will you make it all the way to next Sunday's Mass? You want to make a bet? I bet you won't make it, and that includes me too, until the sun goes down. See if you can make it all the way through the rest of this day and not complain. Let me conclude with this story. You may have heard it before, but don't complain. Like the sixth chapter of John, it bears repeating. A man joined a monastery and took a vow of silence, which meant he could only say two words every 10 years. After the first 10 years, his superior called him in and asked, "Do you have anything to say?" The monk replied, "Food bad." After another 10 years, the monk again had opportunity to voice his thoughts. He said, "Bed hard." Another 10 years went by, and again he was called in before his superior. When asked if he had anything to say, he responded, "I quit." The superior said, "It doesn't surprise me one bit. All you've done since you entered the monastery is complain." Did you make it to the end of this homily without complaining?